Hello, Michael. Can you see my screen, or is
Yes.
it? Yes, you can. Okay.
Yes.
Well, hi everybody, and welcome to our hundred and I think it is 163rd meeting of the Glamour Work, where we attempt to dissipate world glamour, and particularly right now, as it is focused in the United States, which has worldwide repercussions. We have started a new series of programs, which is sort of phase two of our work to assist with a free and fair election, which straightforwardly honors the will of the people. This is still a dangerous time, and mostly because there are certain manipulations that are being attempted by the side which represents demagoguery and blind idealism. And the idea there is to delay the certification of votes by certain within certain states that are in important states, Republican states mostly. And if through a ple a great number of lawsuits, the certification can be delayed beyond a certain point, I believe it's something like the 20th of November. Someone can correct me if I'm incorrect. It's about a week from now. If that certification is delayed, then the state has the right to choose its own electors. And in these Republican states, they will be electors who will vote for the divisive forces. And the danger is, of course, that the election can be stolen. We do have some good news here that the traditionally red state of Arizona has flipped toward the blue, and it looks like there's no present mathematical possibility of that state going red, unless, of course, there are manipulations, and Arizona would be one of those states, I'm sure, in which manipulation was attempted. So we still have to keep our vigilance, and that's the purpose of our ongoing work, which is 8 o'clock every night, except when we have a full moon or a new moon, let's say, and on the weekends at 10 o'clock GMT, because our schedule is so full. We don't want to collide with anything that is already established. So vigilance is required on our part. And the realization that this particular type of manipulation is the game plan, it appears, of the White House and the now or soon to be replaced president. And that cannot be allowed to happen. And of course, there are many people who are fighting against that possibility and who, I think, with the flipping of Arizona, and if Georgia goes that way in its recount, we pretty well have a guardian wall against that possibility. The Supreme Court also has pretty much dropped in its involvement or potential involvement in these matters. So the trend is in the right direction, but there are Republicans that are speaking confidently about a transition into a second term, and we know that there's almost nothing that they would not attempt, or at least the president would not attempt, to remain in office. Along a positive line, a number of the high-ranking Republicans, seeing the handwriting on the wall, have come out for the blue team to receive the necessary transitional briefings and secrets and various types of intelligence to which they are entitled. And that's another favorable aspect. So we're going to continue with our use of Great Invocation number two, because we realize that the forces of obstruction are still at work. There are so many communiques expressing congratulations to the blue team, but they are being bottled up by the White House sort of fiats and saying, don't give those to Biden. So they're not even reaching him, because they're being illegitimately stopped. So, you know, we do have our work cut out for us, most definitely. And at least we must do what we can do in the way that we can do it, using our creative imagination and our meditative abilities. Before we get into the Great Invocation number two, and I certainly do appreciate those of you who are in countries other than the United States being so present and involved. It ends up being a global issue, actually. If democracy is severely compromised in the United States, it will affect many areas and many other countries, and especially in this time just before the Great Conclave, that would be a serious but somewhat predictable circumstance. We hope that we can avoid that. Right now, there are many crises which, if interpreted correctly, and with a lack of bias, can help to prevent these obstructive and really unpatriotic behaviors. So I just want to welcome Anna and Anne and Annette and Ariel and Britta, Carl, Catherine, Eva, Rita, Gretchen, Heike, Jan, Jessica, Joan, and Johi, Karen, Catherine, Mariana, Martha, Martine, Nicole, Nienke, Olivia, Risto, Stacia, Tia, and Tuya, I can put you over here on the other side if you wish. Tia, yes, and Ivan and Zenaide. And over here on the staff side, Michael and Joe Tuya are found there and helping me keep the matter straight. Okay, so we maintain our point of tension. We don't say, hey, the election was won, and drop our point of tension. We don't do that. We will until, you know, almost perhaps until Inauguration Day, when the heart and Jupiter come into greater prominence, and should we maintain our vigilance. And so, great invocation number 2. And of course, it has great relevance to the immediate situation. These forces of obstruction do not give up easily, and a number of us realize the accuracy of what Master Moria has said: watch out for the second arrow. Watch out for the second attack, by whatever means that attack comes, because people tend to let down their guard. And that is really what happened in the biblical story when the man swept his house clean of a certain number of devils. He relaxed, put his mind on other things, and the house became even more infested with these negative forces. DK has warned us about that a few times. So, sadder but wiser, we keep our vigilance going. Okay, great invocation number 2. Let the Lords of Liberation issue forth. Let them bring succor to the sons of men. Let the rider from the secret place come forth and coming save. Come forth, O Mighty One. Let the souls of men awaken to the light, and may they stand with massed intent. Let the fiat of the Lord go forth. The end of woe has come. Come forth, O Mighty One. The hour of service of the saving force has now arrived. Let it be spread abroad, O Mighty One. Let light and love and power and death fulfill the purpose of the coming one. The will to save is here. The love to carry forth the work is widely spread abroad. The active aid of all who know the truth is also here. Come forth, O Mighty One, and blend these three. Construct a great defending wall. The rule of evil now must end. For a while, friends, I'd like to keep our attention on this situation. For about a week or so, about that. I don't want to launch into other things and take our mind away from the glamours which have captivated maybe more than 70, almost 72 million people working under the spell of glamour. And that essentially what that means is working on behalf of the dweller on the threshold rather than the angel of the presence. If you really look at it, this battle being fought out, DK predicted it, the battle for democracy is a battle between the angel of the presence of the United States and its dweller, which is a very powerful dweller, since one of the anchor points of evil is in the United States, part of a triangle of evil involving the Middle East and an undisclosed point in Central Europe. We could speculate what that is, but you know, it's enough to know that it is. And that dweller, that angel conflict is, we must realize, part of the general condition of humanity at this time. And if we set a bad example in a country that used to be looked up to, as it is said, the divisive red energy has managed to humble the United States, or maybe humiliate would be a better word, rather than making it great again. It all depends on what we think greatness really is. And if we don't conform to the good law, and we don't love the good, the beautiful, and the true, and we don't seek to bring the divine plan into some kind of expression, at least within our range of possibility, then how can we talk about greatness? We can only talk about ego, lower ego inflation, and a narcissistic preoccupation with one's reputation due to an inherent psychopathology which is turned into sociopathy and has no place in at least what used to be the leader, national leader of the so-called free world. So Master Moria said, and at the time I was reading it, you know, I didn't apply it to the United States. He said, countries can fall very fast, depending upon their leadership. And we witness the truth of this matter now, and we hope for redemption, a repentance, a turning around, as it were, a reversal of the wheel applied to the national discourse. And if that can occur, it will have salutary effects upon the entirety of humanity. But we, students of esotericism, unlike maybe what was done in the 1930s when there was hope to avoid the precipitation of that terrible war, we must not fall into that trap, but must keep our point of tension until our canoe has passed through the violent rapids into more serene waters. There's no question that when the Christ reappears, a period of serenity under the second ray, maybe not immediately, but eventually, will emerge. And Satan, not in the sense that some of the six-ray fanatics are using that idea right now. Some people are really, you know, going off the wall with that. But in terms of the combined forces of the personality, which work against the dweller on the threshold, which work against the angel of the presence, that type of Satan, that type of devil, whatever you want to call it, will be symbolically bound for 1,000 years, but we have to get there. And these are perilous days. Even though the personality rebellion staged by Mars is violent and associated by many with the present occupant of the White House, it may simply remain and be fed by those negative forces. So the president may change, okay, and we trust that this will happen. But the rebellion against the angel is operating now and into the future with the passing out of the sixth ray and all the insecurity it causes among those who are primarily conditioned by the sixth ray. And of course, you know, the drama is right there in the U.S. with its second ray, Aquarian soul, and its sixth ray, Geminian personality. That is the Civil War. That's it. The Civil War took place 150 years ago, 160 years ago, and it was Mars in the sign Gemini, in the chart of the United States, which was the energy behind that civil war, the warring brothers, the blue and the gray. Well, the blue is pretty consistent. Now it's the blue and the sort of murky red, the dark red of Mars, the non-sacred red, as DK informs us on page 420, 421 of Esoteric Psychology 1, it's the non-sacred color of the sixth ray. So now it's the blue and the red, another subjective civil war. And that war may well continue, aided and abetted by a former occupant of the White House who looks for some way to stay in the public eye. I do have a bit of a prediction. There is a, and I wonder if I can show it to you. Let's see here. I want to bring the esoteric astrology program up. Solar Fire, wonderful program. If you don't have it, you'll want to have it. Yes, we're heading into the new moon. The moon has entered Scorpio, as we may see, and the sun is there too. So shortly we will have our new moon meditation and celebrate the Scorpio new moon. But it can be a kind of triumph of shambolically originating forces. So I want to open this, and I want to find Mr. Trump's horoscope. And this is more or less it. people can debate whether he has Leo rising. It certainly looks like it with all the all of the hair stuff going on, the Leonian mane. There's so many indications, but it's a blend of Leo and Virgo, giving the germaphobe attitude and certain types of fastidiousness, which are unhelpful. But anyway, here's our Mars, powerfully rising right on the ascendant. I don't know what the Sabian symbol says about it. Well, I hope it's daybreak in the sense that we will understand how to have a new regime. So anyway, it's either zero Virgo or 29 Leo, and I think 29 Leo is pretty good. Now, what I see ahead, I guess any astrologer would see it, is that if we make a quad wheel out of this, we will notice that Mars is here at 27 degrees of Capricorn now. But I hope you can read this. I know it's a little small, okay? If I go ahead a few years, I wish it was sooner than later. We will have, notice, and here it is. Okay, right here in February of 2023. It's too far ahead, of course, but that's when it is. And I will use days now. And approximately this, approximately just before Saturn goes into Pisces. That can be good or bad. Dalai Lama has that, and people with great spiritual responsibility have that, but so do many others. Okay, anyway, right about here, right in Pisces of 2023, Saturn, the law, sits all by itself on the seventh house cusp of this individual who has done so much to threaten democracy. So March 5th, March 6th, somewhere in there, and let's see if it comes back. I'm not sure, but we'll take a look. No, that's it. It doesn't come back. That's it. But it's still in the house of the law. So there, about March 5th or 6th, Saturn sits all alone in the house of law. And this is a year and a half or so before the next election. This is an opposition to the ascendant, and it is a reckoning with the dweller, because after all, that's where we meet our so-called open enemies, as they are called. Saturn is very powerful in the seventh house. So no matter what transpires before that, we will, let's see here. Yeah. We will begin to see that the many lawsuits the crimes which have been committed, really criminal activity and so forth, there will be a reckoning in the chart of this individual at this time. Saturn will be there, and a great facing of consequences will be there. Now, I don't think there's a way to escape from that, and I think it will have a considerable effect on whether or not the same individual runs again for the presidency in 2024. Now, this does not mean that this does not mean that he will not be present and maybe effective among his group up to a time, but it will condition, I think, whether he becomes a presidential candidate, because the tendency toward having to pay for the crimes comes with Saturn at that point. Now we'll have to see how that, how that actually works out. And it is, there's no question about it, it is ahead of us by about 2 years and a few months. So there's not too much we can do or say about it, except to continue to observe. At the same time as this happens, transiting Pluto is in this quincunx or refining aspect, a frictional refinement to the ascendant. Notice, here is Pluto 150 degrees from the ascendant. And there are probably other things that one can see, but there will be a reckoning. And what has happened here is that the progressed ascendant has moved finally into Scorpio. So if we go back a year or so, one and two, well, as a matter of fact, it's moving, this is it. It's moving into Scorpio right now. His progressed ascendant moved into Scorpio at the period of the election. So, Scorpio is a sign of triumph, of course, but it's also a sign of deception. Let Maya flourish and deception rule, and of, basically underhandedness and the exaltation of the dweller. People have to beat their dweller, and the battle is often found when Scorpio is prominent. We know now that there is no attempt to win over the dweller. So right now, there has been a movement of the president's ascendant into the sign Scorpio. And that, I think, tells us something about the methods being used at that time and will continue to be used. However, Saturn is the planet of justice and karma, and it is just about 2 years from its reckoning at the seventh house. So we have to watch. Of course, I could look at Biden's horoscope here too, as well. I'm not going to do that right now. We will keep our hopes high, because a decent person who is actually truly spiritual, in the sense of being a humanitarian and in the sense of having suffered enough to be compassionate, has much hope connected with him. But we now have to go into the protective mode and every day see the solar angel, the angel of the presence of humanity's soul, protecting the two candidates who are now president and vice president elect, Joseph Biden and Kamala Harris. By the way, someone pointed out, it's really interesting, KH, at least by initial, Kamala Harris seems to be connected with those letters, and those letters, you know, are important to us. So this is a little bit of what's going on and the anticipation of what will maybe transpire in the future. And the psychologist, who is the niece of the present president, she's quite astute. She says there will be no running in 2024 for another candidacy, another election, because he will never put himself in the place where he can be so threatened and where the possibility of losing again is so imminent. I just want to go back here to Election Day, and I just want to say that if we look ahead a little bit, we will also see progressed Uranus, which changes the structure of everything, approaching the ascendant. So that by the, whether it's Virgo, early Virgo, or late Leo, or some combination of them, we will have by well, it's in orb all through the early part of 2020. It's even, let's see where we are right now. Yeah, it's even in orb now, as you see. So Uranus in the directed chart is basically crossing the ascendant for 2 years. And that is a complete change of structure. Things do not remain the same in terms of the structure through which one is living. So with that, with the progressed descendant entering into Scorpio, let's see, let me just check this. 1, 2, 3. Okay, when did it? Yep, that's it. Right after Halloween, on November 1st, and, you know, we have to be a little bit approximate here because we're not exactly sure of the time, but approximately November 1st, approximately on Election Day, the progressed descendant for this individual entered into Scorpio. Yeah. Okay. Well, that's a look at how things may go in the future, and the kind of reckoning that comes when you consistently lie and break the law, and basically bring a country down with you. As people have been warning, the burn the house down type of mentality, which can prevail. All right, now I will. So things are a little different. We're going to meditate today on a glamour of blind idealism and the manipulation which demagogically supports that. But let's, for a little while, your thoughts on any of these matters. This is the time to have our discussion. So if there's anybody that wants to say something or ask something, etc., this would be the time to do it. And I'm, yeah. This would be the time if you have something you would like to offer or question about the present crisis. I wouldn't take so much time with this if it were not a real crisis within humanity, not to mention the astronomical number of cases which are now emerging, over 150,000 in the United States alone, and the deaths are always over 1,000 a day. Does the present occupant of the White House care? It doesn't look like it. And yet this is a real tragedy, and according to some of the most informed people, will only get worse. So we have a triple crisis: election, social division, and an out of control epidemic. Okay. Let's see where are we right now? November 19. Actually, you know that progress, that moon there, Ann Parker. There's a progress moon and a directed moon. So here is the progress moon. It's in Virgo. The directed moon, as you're indicating, is in Pisces, and that, of course, it stays there for another 28 years. So that's a little in this fourfold chart. The main chart is in the center. The progress chart is the second. The solar arc directed chart is the third. And then comes the transits. But, you know, no question, the Pisces Neptune is part of the Pralaic situation, which is now existing for the sixth ray Piscean civilization, for which the United States is the heir. I mean, heir, H-E-I-R. It has inherited that civilization and all the Pralaic implications as well. Okay, Michael, are you there? Okay.
Yes, I am here.
Okay, I'm not hearing very well. It seems a bit faded. There, now it's getting better.
Yeah, had to move the microphone down by my mouth.
Well, why not? Now, when you get to the point where you can put it on your forehead and we hear the words, you've arrived.
That's right.
Okay, so I did answer Ann Parker's question. And now there's some other things.
Jan has written, Sabian symbol for last degree of Leo is an unsealed letter. Very appropriate information of his form of communications. What are your insights of this long retrograde position of Mars during this? And now turning direct tomorrow, will that help or further hinder?
I think it will swing more people into progressive action. You know, even the leading members of the Senate, let's say Lindsey Graham and Mitch McConnell, and you know, maybe a few of the others who are desperately hoping for a Trump victory, have said that Biden must now go forward in receiving the necessary intelligence. So, the regressing Mars, retrograded Mars, you kind of dig in your heels and things become quite stubborn. I think maybe we'll see some movement along the right line with Mars. Of course, it doesn't mean that the fight engineered in the White House will be any the less. Maybe it will become more overt, but I think some progress will come. And maybe some more overt action, because usually, with regressive Mars or retrograde Mars, you may hide your initiatives from others. Now they may come out more boldly on both sides, and everyone will really see what is at stake. This next week is very important because the certification of the ways that the states have voted, there's an attempt to stop that certification, and there is a contrary attempt to make sure that it happens. Once the certification happens and confirms the Biden victory, some of the danger is reduced.
And then Yvonne has written that yesterday CNN called him a sociopath.
Yeah, well, when something is really wrong with you, developmentally, or in terms of your responses, your normal responses, often the word psychopath, a very dangerous state, is used. But when one pits one's own selfish personality against the welfare of society, effectively killing thousands through withheld and mis with withheld information and information which is perverted and mendacious, lying information, one is basically taking a toll upon society as a whole. And so that term, I think, will be the way that history judges this unfortunate but illuminating period. So I think that the term is correct, Yvonne.
And Olivia's hand is raised. You're unmuted. Please go ahead.
Okay, thank you. Michael, thank you for doing this. This is really, really so helpful. Can you hear me?
Yes, you're
Okay, I wasn't
quite
sure.
good. Quite loud and clear. You're good,
I
Olivia.
was switching around. Yeah, it's really so helpful, and to be able to bring in our glamour group to focus on this and the other initiatives, because we really still are in jeopardy, as you're saying, and this is the time to really intensify what we're doing in the vigilance. One encouraging thing was last night, Ron Klain, who is Biden's new chief of staff, he did his first interview with MSNBC. And wow, I mean, he seems so competent and experienced and really determined to do good. He's been Vice President Biden's chief of staff before, and also chief of staff for Vice President Gore. So he really knows Washington and how to work effectively. Yeah, and it sounds like that while Biden is remaining very calm and confident and going forward that way, Ron Klain now will be pushing much more to get the transition resources that they need.
Mm.
because as he said, they can't do security checks for their possible cabinet members. They can't work with agencies. And, you know, Biden's come out with this COVID team, but now that there's a vaccine distribution that needs to be coordinated and all these things, and, you know, and as well, money for offices. And then, as you mentioned, the top security briefings that he's not getting.
Absolutely. Yeah. Well, you know, the underhanded quality of the initiatives of the Red Group are staggering. I mean, you know, people are just dropping their jaw at the dishonesty, the kind of blatant attempt to take the election away from the voice of the American people and manipulate it into the favor of the present president. It's staggering, people, how dishonest it really is. But the trends, well, you know, we cannot relax, but the trends do seem rather relentless. Was there something going on the 14th of December that is one of those final dates? I'm trying to remember. I don't know if anybody knows that. But, you know, somewhere in the middle of December was one of those important dates. Did it have to do with the electors voting or something of that nature? Does anybody know? Because what I see is a complete solar eclipse on the 14th of December. And that is to be, you know, that is to be taken into consideration. They have sometimes given a timetable.
Yeah, we should pull that up and you know, make sure it's accurate and get that distributed, because as you say, these key dates of things are occurring, and I have some idea, but I don't want to speak for sure, but I think it's online and we can get that.
Me neither. And maybe someone, if a member of the group right now can do a little research quickly about the key dates between now and the inauguration and share that with us, that would be helpful. Something's going to happen with a confirmation. Well, first of all, the runoff in January 5th, right. Immediately before there is a deadline date, I think, on the 6th. And I know that in November, coming up in about a week, there has to be some kind of certification. But there's something going on in December. I'm not, you know, up on all the political moves, which is important and, you know, probably very important. And I just want to see what the eclipse may bring to it. Because what I do see is that eclipse is on is directly opposed the sun sign of Donald Trump and on his moon sign. That is a solar eclipse on the moon within less than 2 degrees. So that is you know, that may take things in a better direction. Because, you know, we can talk about the shambolic effect of a solar eclipse and planting a seed which has to flourish over the next cycle. But solar eclipses are very first ray, very potent, and can knock people quite a bit. You know, if I see a solar eclipse occurring in an elderly person, I watch for whether that will take them out or not. Earlier on, when you have a solar eclipse that operates in the middle of life, it's usually some kind of ascension, if it's on the same degree as the sun, okay? But here it's opposite the sun. It's on the moon. It has to do with the mass consciousness. It has to do with the public and so forth. And it is also conjunct the south node as well. So, you know, if I was to go ahead here and take a look at the chart on December the 14th, just want to kind of see what it brings. Well, it there's not many changes to that, but that solar eclipse is also on his progressing Chiron and so forth, and it's also on his asteroid of partnership, and there are imminent factors going on there. There will be a reckoning. There's no question about it. If the individual lives so long under Saturn and a number of other factors, there will be a reckoning. And at that same time, we have Saturn occupying a position which is quincunx 150 degrees to the ascendant. It's right over here. Of course, Jupiter is also there, and that speeds things up whichever way it goes. And here is, again, Uranus at the 29th degree. So the quincunx is a frictional aspect which necessarily brings adjustment. And I think it is predicted, at least by the former, you know, the lawyer that's in stay-at-home jail, what can I call it, Michael Cohen, he thinks that there will be a retreat to Mar-el-Lago, from which the present occupant will not issue forth for the inauguration, which would be like, you know, unbelievable. But talk about putting one's personhood before the welfare of the country. Okay.
Right. Well, as long as he leaves.
Just
leave. Hey, Michael, what does January 5th look like for him? That's when, of course, we have those two Senate runoff elections, which will determine control of the Senate.
I'll tell you what, let me, I think I would have to, I'd have to start a new chart to do that. And maybe the thing that I shouldn't get into it too intensively right now. Let's just say Washington District of Columbia. I'm not even sure how to look this up, so maybe I always run into trouble here. Washington DC. Let's see if we can. No, this is not going to be easy for me to do right now. So I can maybe put it in, I can put it into a different, I can put it into New York. I can do that. And so that is 5 January 2021. And we'll say New York. That ought to be enough, because certain things will simply be what they are. And we can just take a look at the day for that runoff, and we can, because it's on the same timeline as Georgia, we'll just say 8 in the morning. And let's see if I get anything out of that. Okay, so. But I'd really have to examine that with a little bit of care. Okay, so that is the day. Oh my goodness, it's a day of decision, isn't it? The moon is in Libra, no question about it. And Saturn and Mercury Saturn and Jupiter are conjuncted in Aquarius. I think, you know, what is the capital of Georgia? Is it Atlanta, right?
Yeah. Yes.
Let me see if I can do it that way. So I'll edit this and we'll say Atlanta, and GA should be Georgia. And it's 8 o'clock in the morning. I don't know when the votes begin. And I don't know if they have pre-votes either. Okay, we can check this out this way. And okay, well, that's sunrise in Georgia, and I'm not sure exactly what time they begin. But the moon, is definitely a Libra. Okay, and it is opposing Chiron. And, you know, I'd have to compare this with Joe Biden's chart. And I'd have to compare this with the senator's chart as well. But it's quite interesting. There's going to be a lot of lying going on, of course. Pluto and Mercury are very close to each other. And, you know, there will be some underhanded manipulations, Pluto and Mercury together. There will be Jupiter-Saturn conjunction over here in Aquarius, and it will be decisive for the soul of America in the short term, which is ruled by Aquarius, because these two planets together, both of which are powerful in Aquarius, are kind of offsetting each other. One of my friends, a very good astrologer, Dr. Finn from Denmark, he said, this is the nuclear clash, he called it, the nuclear clash. The day begins, what time, maybe someone can look up sunrise in Atlanta. Is there any way to do that? Sunrise in Atlanta on that day? Because it seems that it may be Capricorn. So, and Capricorn is an appropriate sign for this kind of thing, definitely. I would just say the pressure of the decision is very strong. That's, you know, all I can say until I'm able, and I can't do it right now, to look at both other charts in relation. What's his name? Perdue, Ossoff,
Warnock
and Loeffler. Yeah, mm-hmm. Those are the four candidates involved. So it would be a bit of a research project. But it's definitely, you know, this is hardcore. Pluto, Mercury together, and Saturn and Jupiter together. And basically, it's a big conjunction right there in the sunrise chart, approximately sunrise.
Well, this is really, really significant, to see how this looks. So that would be great because, you know, this is for control of the Senate and whether Biden's programs are blocked, you know, and obstructed or whether he can get them through and bring change.
And that would also depend on some of the more moderate Republicans. But yes, this is worth looking at, and let's see if we can do it. It's not an inconsequential day astrologically either. Mm-hmm. So, you know, it's got some pretty strong conjunctions. Mm-hmm. And interestingly enough, at 8 o'clock in the morning, it's got Uranus right down at the midheaven, which is a shakeup. So we have to we have to if there's anybody let's see. What did Jessica say? Did someone look it up? Michael. Let's see.
I put a couple of things in, one from Jan and one from Jessica, that provided some links. And then Jessica wrote, the U.S. Code 3 U.S.C. Section 5 provides that if election results are contested in any state, and if the state prior to election day has enacted procedures to settle controversies or contest over electors and electoral votes, and if these procedures have been applied and the results have been determined 6 days before the electors' meetings, then these results are considered to be conclusive and will apply in the counting of the electoral votes. This date, known as the safe harbor deadline, falls on December 8 in 2020.
2020 or 2021? Oh, December. Right. 2020. Okay. I'm interested in the early. Yes, that's quite close to the eclipse, of course. Okay, well, look, we can't. I'm afraid. Okay, here. Now we've got it. 7:43. That's good. Thank you, Anne. 7:43. And also, Jessica provided that. Now I can get to the point. And what time does voting begin? Let's see, did it say 7:43? Is that what you said? I'm sorry, I'm just losing it a little bit here.
They both said that sunrise is at 7:43 a.m. in Atlanta.
Okay, very
And we
good.
also have two other hands raised.
Okay, well, I just want to. I think I cannot go on much longer here, because we have a meditation, which we must do. Okay, well, that's sunrise for the day, and definitely Uranus and Mars are at the bottom of the chart, and the midpoint is the IC, Imam Chalet, at the bottom of the chart, and that is, yeah. It's right between Mars. It's quite a shakeup, quite a shakeup. And this is interesting because the rising sign is about toys in a children's ward and caring, you know, caring about the condition of others. So I, you know, it's going to be a very exciting day. And there's going to be all kinds of traded accusations. There's going to be some underhanded stuff having to do with paper and with technology. In other words, Pluto, Mercury. And it will be very determining in terms of the soul direction of the United States, given Saturn, the ruler of Aquarius and of the first decanate of Aquarius, and Jupiter, the esoteric ruler of Aquarius, both together in a close conjunction. And it says here, well, you know, the Sabian symbols are interesting. A Hindu healer is one, that's Jupiter, and Saturn is a deserter from the Navy. So we'd have to intuitively put that together. It will be it you know, astrologically, it really is a decisive and rather turbulent day, beginning with Mars and Uranus together. Those two are really breakthrough planets, and they're exactly on the IC at sunrise. Now, all we have to do is find out when voting begins, probably earlier, but at least that's when the sun rises, and that is significant. All right, friends.
Michael,
to you.
To you here? Yeah.
Yes.
I just want to bring this thing, what I heard today, what was so shocking to me, even though you, Michael, said that it is known, but I didn't really believe on that level. Our one of the, I think he is the secretary, or one
foreign
of the
minister,
secretaries.
Foreign
in,
minister.
No, no, no. He is not foreign minister, but he is one of those, I think, secretary in foreign minister department.
Uh-huh.
And he says like that, word by word, that that I was somehow I was somehow put into the email list of the government of United States. And from that email, from those emails during the already several months, there has been coming root emails of Ted, right, emails of telling about the coming election, and that the election, what is coming up, has to be changed the way that that there has to be now fundraising for stopping the results of the election, meaning that of course we can understand that this is happening in United States, but that the government, the present government, is actually sending around the world, so where, those official letters to fundraise.
In other countries. In other countries.
Yes, from other countries, in order to have funds to intervene the election process. And I think this is outrageous.
Mm-hmm.
I have never heard ever in any country that the official letters are sent on this level.
To solicit funds from other countries for an American election. That is
right.
Supposed to be totally illegal.
That
yes.
is absolutely. So, and it looks like that he somehow, because he is really on the left, and it has to be somehow that it has been some kind of mistake to think that he is very much for this present
government. That he would cooperate. It's just a clerical mistake, and he got that letter, which tells us that
he has been getting letters, Michael. It was not letter. It was letters during the several months, constantly about that, to collect funds for intervening in this election process.
So that would be the dark money process that people have been talking about, with funds coming in internationally to support the objectives of the president. Yeah, that is illegal. That is absolutely illegal. Well, okay, all right, we know what it is. Okay, thanks for that heads up, Tuya, appreciate that. Look, we haven't much time here. Tia, you have your hand raised. Go ahead. Or maybe you wrote it out. Do you want to speak, Tia?
Tia is self-muted. There she is.
No, I had a personal comment and observation. You decide whether you want to share it or not, but it's just something that I just being here in DC, have observed. So I just thought I would share it.
Yeah, well, go ahead. You share. I'm just going to trust you on this. Go ahead.
Well, I just said that we have to keep in mind that the present circumstance is not something that is entirely new or unanticipated. What is happening in Georgia was anticipated and known a while ago. And I think that our efforts should also be with what we have always been doing, which is strengthening the hand of the new group of world servers, because they've already been positioned and they're already working. And that's all I'll say about that. I also wanted to say that the thing to know about Trump and Pence is that very quietly, they know that they have lost the election, and they are out now doing fundraising for their defense fund amongst key Republicans. So a lot of the brouhaha and everything that's going on is to basically, you know, people abandon a sinking ship. But if he can show that he still has some political comedy and power, he can do some fundraising, because he knows that there are state lawsuits that are awaiting him and his vice president after he leaves office. And that is just a foregone conclusion. You know, justice needs to be served. And I think that's all I'll say about that.
Yes, that's a very important point. And there's a huge financial motive in some of the more obvious things that are being done. But behind it is this fear of prison, indictment, financial ruin, all of that. Yeah. So, yeah, thank you, Tia, for bringing it out. I appreciate that. Now let's see. I think we've just, friends, is there one more person that has not spoken that wants to? Because we've got to get into the meditation, because we're just at the point where we're going to start the next meditation. So, which will be given at 8 o'clock. Yeah.
Karen's hand was raised earlier, and then she put it down.
Okay, Karen, is there something that you did want to say? There we go. Is there anything, Karen, that you wanted to say there? Sorry to have taken so long to get to you. But, you know, maybe not. It's up to you. Okay, well, look.
I think Karen is self-muted.
Yeah, she is. Let's see what we got here. No, she did not right now. Okay. Well, the tension is building. No question about that. And the really important thing is, as a group of students of esotericism who knows a little bit of something about soul values, we have to do everything we can to support the sustainment, the continuity of soul values in this very fraught situation. So that'll be it. And then let's get right into our meditation. I appreciate you know, your thoughts. We're meditating here on blind idealism, accompanied by cynical manipulation. So, you know, the truth just can't get through because the people being reached are so emotional and so blind to the wider issues. And it's a combination of the third ray and the sixth ray, with the power of the first ray behind it. So, let's just have a little quiet as we come together, solidifying our effective relationship with each other. We know what we are doing and why we are doing it. And this is an intense time. And we use the protective formula. As a soul, I work in light, and darkness cannot touch me. I take my stand within the light. I work, and from that point, I never move. And before the whole group, this cross of divinity. We bring the triple light together as we're accustomed to doing. The vital light of matter, the light of mind, focusing on the mental plane. And the light of the soul, which we detect, bringing in the basic vibration of love, wisdom, whatever our soul ray may be, and of seeing things in a truer perspective. So all three lights come together. When we think, we are supported by the vitality of matter and by the perspective of the soul. And we say, followed by the sacred word, the light is one, and in that light shall we see light. This is the light that turns the darkness into day. And then we use the formula combined with our creative imagination . Radiance are we and power. We stand forever with our hands stretched out, linking the heavens and the earth, the inner world of meaning and the subtle world of glamour. We reach into the light and bring it down to meet the need. We reach into the silent place and bring from thence the gift of understanding. Thus, with the light we work and turn the darkness into day. and we visualize that great searchlight arising from the triple light as one, and it moves out onto the astral plane, the beam, to dissipate the obstructions of glamour. We invoke the spiritual will to strengthen that beam. And we say, in invoking the spiritual will, calling it forth, we say, with power upon its beam, the light is focused on the goal. That goal, the dissipation of blind idealism, accompanied by cynical manipulation. Both work together. To create an untruthful situation. And glamour dies in the presence of truth, we know. So, these words of power. The power of our united light prevents the appearance of the glamour of blind idealism accompanied by cynical manipulation, or maybe we should say promoted by cynical manipulation. The power of our united light prevents the appearance of blind idealism promoted by cynical manipulation. We're looking for a more reasonable, rational response in so many millions who apparently are swept away by their passions and their inability to think clearly. The power of our united light negates the quality of this glamour from affecting humanity. And the power of our united light destroys the life behind this glamour of blind idealism, let's say, exacerbated by cynical manipulation. and we can already feel the glamour weakening. It's showing up in the insistence by many who are highly placed that the well-established norms be observed. So let us take our 5 minutes of silence as we usually do. Silence and intensity of purpose as we see this work of weakening the glamour among so many millions and among those who demagogically manipulate. We see this glamour weakening, weakening. 5 minutes. And the clouds and the veils, they are lifted, they are dissipated, and a situation of greater truth, represented by the sun, prevails. We withdraw our beam from the astral plane, from Kamamanas, and the lights go back to their proper places. And we sound the Om three times, believing that some little bit of work has been done to weaken the tendency towards blind, unthinking idealism and the manipulation which exacerbates that idealism. Friends, we all want to thank you. For being with us. And in 20 minutes, we have the continued meditation, but it will be on Zoom. And the new Zoom link is right there in the chat box, so make sure you copy it if you want to join us. We'll have to hurry now to get everything in order. And hopefully this will be available, the discussion here, if you wish, will be available to you on Makara before long. So we will sign off right now and see at least some of you in a little while on the Zoom meeting. Okay, lots of love, many blessings from all of us, and may the divine plan prevail, and may the good, the beautiful, and the true prevail. We'll be with you shortly.